circuses on the air.
The president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Johnny's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Dave Plyer.
On this beautiful Sunday, as we celebrate my daughter's 12th birthday this weekend,
I'm very excited. Oh, happy birthday.
Emma. It's Emma's 12th birthday, yes. She was my date last night at the Museum of Broadcast Communications 35th Anniversary Gala, which was lovely.
Wow. Where was that? At the museum?
Yeah, that was actually at the museum. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, yeah. And got to, you know, I there's certain hosts on the station I know and I hang out with once in a while. I know John Williams. I've known him for years. I don't know him, and I got to get to know him a little
got
bit
to,
tonight.
Got to out. Get yeah. acquainted, didn't
yeah. you? Yeah, so we kind of hung out, which was kind of cool. But a beautiful event, and it was funny. Emma, on the way home, I'm watching to my right, and she is she had seven girlfriends over for a movie night in our little movie room in our basement, mm-hmm. and they were up till about four. And they watched Breakfast Club. They watched. They wanted a scary movie, and I really don't know some of their parents, so I didn't want to do something
right.
really
yeah.
over the top.
You know, you get a call from a parent saying you're giving my kid nightmares.
Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Pretty,
oh, there you go.
Pretty,
that,
pretty harmless. Work. And then they watched Mary Poppins, and so she didn't sleep more than 3 hours. So when we got in the car, we were saying goodnight. As I said, we saw a lot of old friends too, and Bob and Marianne were saying goodbye to them, and I turned around on State Street, and by the time I turned around and looked to my right,
she was out.
No. Emma's putting on, she brings in her bag, her pajamas. So she's putting on her pajamas underneath her dress, and then kind of does this thing and gets her shirt on and whatever. And all of a sudden, then she pulls a hanger out of her bag, puts her dress on the hanger, hangs it in the back seat, lays back the seat, and she's out.
That was it.
She was out before I hit the Ohio feeder or the Ontario feeder. It was pretty funny, but yeah, 12 years old. So we're having some family over today, and I got to get
well.
Some
happy
myself.
Birthday and many more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I want to start off with our history segment talking about the post office. It was 1789, Dave, that the Postmaster General was created under the Treasury Department, and you and I talk about this every year. I looked at their last quarterly, first of all, in 2016.
And how much money they lose?
Yes, $5.6 billion in 2016.
Isn't that something?
Camille's looking very shocked. It is amazing, though, that they still are. If they were a business, they'd be gone a long time ago.
You know, what's interesting, too, is just from an historic standpoint, I was looking around online earlier in the week.
Oop, careful.
And it was...
Oh, about the post office. Okay, yes.
And let's see, this week, somewhere in the 1840s or 50s or something, that Congress approved what became the Pony Express.
Oh,
the
okay.
overland mail system.
Yeah, yeah.
And they designated a whopping $600,000.
That was huge for that back then. Absolutely.
For that. But the premise was to get mail across really a large part of the western United States, some from St. Louis to somewhere out west, maybe San Francisco or something like that, in 5 days.
Think about this, though. I said five.
But that's a long way.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. But you know what? That's how long. If you mail a letter, you're not getting it that quick either. But $5.6 billion last year. But, Dave, the last quarter of the U.S. Postal Service lost $2.1 billion.
Just in the one quarter.
Just in the one quarter. FedEx,
yeah, you're
on
right.
the other
if
hand.
If they were a real business, they would be gone a long
time
ago.
No, yeah. And FedEx, last quarter, made a billion.
They made a billion.
Made a billion. So what does that tell you?
Well,
inefficient, inefficient. Yeah. Something has to change. How could I can't believe Donald Trump's not going to try to attack this in the next few years because he's a businessman. How do you take a business like this and continue running it
to run the deficit
in that way? Yeah. I mean, we need it, but there's got to be different ways.
Well, another thing that's hurting it too is. You mentioned FedEx making $1 billion, but look at all the documents that were, you know, in the past mailed.
Yeah.
Now they're emailed.
Okay, so you change the business model. Then you change how you're doing it. Or maybe it's mail gets delivered Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I mean, really, you got to think about something different.
Yeah, a few years ago, they were talking about discontinuing
Saturdays. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got mail yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
Of course you did. Yep. So there we go. Another year, probably another $6 billion loss. 1862, Lincoln's Emancipation is published in the Northern newspapers of the United States. It was September 22nd, 1862. Lincoln had issued a preliminary proclamation that he would order the emancipation of all slaves in any state or part of a state that did not end the rebellion against the Union by January 1st of the very next year.
Right. That's when it took effect, in January of 1863. It always... is one of those things when every time I hear about the Emancipation Proclamation, one of the very original documents, an actual document that Lincoln wrote in his own hand, was lost in the Great Chicago Fire.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
hate hearing that.
Yeah,
I
mean there were copies, just like there are copies,
but the original
in his own hand of the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
But, one of the original forms of the Emancipation Proclamation was lost.
Obviously,
in the fire.
A critical part of our U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
Lost. 1926, Henry Ford announces the 8-hour, 5-day-a-week workday, which I still don't work, Dave. neither do you. It's increased productivity for Ford and businesses, and they worked a far longer day, up to 6 days per week, sometimes 10 to 12 hours a day. But even today, if you're a salaried employee anywhere, you truly work more than 8 hours and often end up working in some way on weekends. And now that you have all that access to social media and email and so forth, I'm checking email all the time.
All the time.
Even on the weekends.
All the time. Yeah. Yep. Days off, you're doing prep work for work.
Yeah.
Checking emails. Somebody comes, calls with a question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Few sports highlights. 1926, the NHL grants the franchise to the Chicago Blackhawks and Detroit Red Wings this week, thus launching the two teams to the original six. And Blackhawks training camp just took place this weekend. And first preseason game is Tuesday.
Wow.
I'm not ready.
No.
I still have a boat in the water I got to get out. And I still got two Cubs games left in my ticket pack.
In your ticket pack.
I'm not ready. 1932, the 1932 Baseball World Series opens with the Chicago Cubs and the New York Yankees. Of course, we lost 6-12. 1939, the White Sox hosted their first day-night doubleheader. They lose to Cleveland 5-2 and 7-5. 1949, My Friend Irma is one of 12 films starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And, of course, we talked about that on Labor Day, on what a legendary comedy team they
Martin
were.
Martin Lewis were, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What do we have a clip of? What is this clip? Do we know?
Jerry Lewis on teaming up with Dean Martin.
All right, let's hear him talk about it.
Dean and I met. I was at the Belmont Plaza Glass Hat, appearing in the Glass Hat. It's so funny. Frank Sinatra's mother adored me. She loved what I did in my act and adored me. And she just told me every night. She was there 4 nights a week, having dinner in the Glass Hat and watching my show. She said, I'm going to bring my son in. He's going to love you. I don't know who his son is. And Frank hadn't really hit yet. I'm talking about 43, 42, I think. I was 16 at the Glass Hat. And I meet Dean, who was on WMCA sustaining 15 minutes every day, 5 days a week. And he was staying at the Belmont Plaza because the station owned the hotel, or the hotel owned the station, and he was able to stay there for nothing. He wasn't paid, so therefore they got to get him on accommodation where he didn't have to pay, and he was doing fine. And I met him in the coffee shop of the Belmont Plaza Hotel one day, and I was sitting at the counter having a very loose egg salad sandwich. And I bite the sandwich, and most of the egg salad is now on my shirt and tie. And I look around, and there's this handsome guy sitting there hysterical. And I laughed because he laughed. And I looked down. He said, "Lick it."
So that's Dean, how he met Dean Martin. Which is,
well, that's pretty graphic there, isn't it?
That's a great story. It's a great story. 1956, RCA reports Elvis sold over 10 million records. Three of the biggest hits ever were Hound Dog, Don't Be Cruel, Love Me Tender. 1957, Maverick premiered. 1957 to 62, starred James Garner, and later joined by James Bond, one of the James Bond, which was Roger Moore. 1959, the Chicago White Sox clinched the AL pennant. 1960, first of four TV debates. The Nixon-Kennedy debates took right here in Chicago at CBS when it was at McClurg Court. The Museum of Broadcast Communications still has the original camera and the actual Secret Service map that was used at the station. Let's take a little listen.
The Republican candidate, Vice President Richard M. Nixon, and the Democratic candidate, Senator John F. Kennedy. According to rules set by the candidates themselves, each man should...
The Nixon-Kennedy debates would forever change the way Americans chose their presidents. Political rallies and old-fashioned handshaking became much less important than the image on the television screen.
There you go. So we still have that camera there. That's pretty cool. And the
Secret
Service map is
cool. I wonder what happened to the plaque. There was a plaque on the wall as you entered that old studio.
That we put on there at the Broadcast Museum.
Yeah.
It's back at the Broadcast. I think it's actually...
Do you have it?
No, I think they actually have it at CBS. And CBS, too, just put together a new set. I wonder if it's on their new set.
Oh, okay. All right.
Got
in,
all
their present, in their present headquarters
yep,
there.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of history that went back to that McClurg Court
Absolutely.
Location. Wow.
I remember walking through there because we went and grabbed stuff for the museum, and it was pretty run down. It was a barn.
It was a barn. A roller rink prior to it being renovated into a TV studio.
Yeah.
That building went back a long way, but boy, what history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There. 1962, the ABC's first color TV series was what? What do you think? 1962.
What network?
It was ABC.
ABC.
1962, first color TV series.
What, the Jetsons?
It was the Jetsons. First thing ever done in color on that station. So it was on in prime time, like the Flintstones were at one point.
Flintstones on ABC, yeah.
Yeah, 62 to 63. And then it became part of their Saturday morning cartoons. But,
well, that's what I remember, Jetsons. And I have a vague memory of Flintstones being on Friday nights.
Prime time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In prime time. Yeah.
That was the Simpsons of its day.
It was. That's a good analogy, yeah.
1964, the Munsters premiere. 1965, Beatles do. 68, Hawaii Five-0 hits the air on CBS. The Love Boat in 1977. In 1984, the Cubs clinched the NL East title. Let's take a listen.
One ball, two strikes, the pitch. Hey, Cubs win the division! Cubs win the division! Cubs win the division! Fitzgerald is out on strike.
In case you didn't hear it, the Cubs won the division, Dave.
Who was the pitcher?
Tell me.
Rick Sutcliffe.
Look at you. Look at you with Harry Carey.
I'll always remember watching that and an ear-to-ear grin on his face as he ran to a home plate, and, you know, they all came out on the field.
Hopefully they'll do it again this year.
That would be great.
We'll be back.